place where you can find the peace of God, still know that you got His great and mighty peace. Amen. Well, we've been studying in the book of the Acts of the Apostles and been going through the first 20, or have gone through the first 20 chapters, and now we're moving on to chapter number 21. So if you'll take your Bibles with us, and we'll begin to look at this chapter. Now, this is maybe a little different thing tonight, the way we're going to look at it, because it just doesn't, the way, when you read it and look at it, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot that's there. I mean, really, as far as something to understand, but, well, I think when we get into it, you'll get the idea, but we're going to look at chapter 21, just the first seven verses, and just kind of an introduction to this chapter. Now, you realize where we came from before in chapter number 20. This is still a continuation of that whole idea. Paul is traveling. He's on the move, and he's trying to make his way back to Jerusalem, and he intends to be in Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost. Now, he wanted to earlier, wanted to get there for the Passover, but just the circumstance, situation, everything that fell out, and the time constraints, he was not able to make it. But now he's really made his mind up that he is going onward. He says, I am gonna make it back to Jerusalem. And of course, some interest there in that idea is because he has something that he wants to give the poor saints at Jerusalem. He wants to be a blessing to them. He wants to give them a gift because they have been the established church. They have sent out the missionaries. They have done the groundwork. It's the place of the Lord's Jesus ministry. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons, but Paul wants to go back and bless the church that started this whole thing, if you will, the idea of the church, the spread of the church. It all came from Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, you know what Jesus told his disciples? He told them when he ascended, they went out to the Mount of Olives, they watched him ascend up, and he told them, they said, you know, what's the sign of the things to come and times to come and all that? And he said, you don't worry about my coming. You don't worry about when I'm coming back. He said, you go to Jerusalem, you pray, you be endued with power. He said, and then take this gospel. He said, go to Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost part. So that's the idea of where the church started. And Paul said, I want to go back and bless those folks and just fellowship, be around them while we can. So what we're looking at here is really the interim, I mean, just the trip, if you will, that Paul goes on while he is getting to Jerusalem. So that's what's happening here. And as I say, in chapter number 20, you see the body of chapter 20 is his last meeting with the people at the church at Ephesus. He'd started a church at Ephesus. And from there, he left, and he's on his way now to Jerusalem. So let's look, if you will, in verse number 1, chapter number 21. And Luke is our writer, and he writes, and it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course to Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over into Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when that we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us, giving us this time together to study. I pray, open the scriptures, speak to our hearts, give us a desire and a drive and a heart like Paul had in the work that he's doing. And we'll just thank you and we'll give you praise and worship for everything that you do for us today. We love you. We want to give you that honor and glory and praise, for it's in Jesus' name that we do ask. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to notice here, as I said, we look at the idea that Paul goes onwards. And we're gonna see, and I know this is probably, there's no way that's big enough for you, but this is a map, and you can follow these colored lines here that Paul goes on his trip. He is starting at a place called Miletus. That's where he met the people of the church of Ephesus. And that is a place called Miletus. And they get on board a ship and they go to this place that in our language today it's just C-O-S, but in the Bible it's C-O-O-S and it's Coos. And then they go to Rhodes and then eventually go to this place called Patara, which is here in Lycia, and then eventually go on down to the city of Tyre in Phoenicia. That's the trip. I just wanted you to see the idea of the travel. I mean, this is the way and the mode pretty much in their day of any kind of travel that a missionary or a merchant or a business person had to do. They had to get in a ship sometime and do a little travel. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. But his intention is, I'm getting back into the land of Israel. And this is the northern area. Really now Phoenicia is the area that is maybe even close to Lebanon. If you've been watching the news, any, you've seen Lebanon and Syria and all of these places that are mapped out here look a little different in this map as to what they are today. But generally, you got the idea of where they're going. It's north of Israel a little bit and in the northern part of Israel. So that's where we're at right now when Paul gets through with this journey. He'll be back and he'll be close to where he wants to be. But what I want you to see as Paul moves on, he's got a targeted place in mind. I mean, he's meaning to go somewhere. And his intention is that, I'm going. I am going on. And, I guess what the Lord wants us to see tonight is the fact that Paul intends to keep moving on. I mean, he's just going to keep on going until he gets to where he's supposed to be. And, that's the way that people look sometimes at our Christian life and they say, how can they keep on? How do they continue? How do they stay motivated? How do they press on? How do they, in the face of opposition, in the face of difficulty, in times like we live, how in the world can you keep on going? And you know what? I'll guarantee you, for us, it is a difficult thing sometimes. But I want to encourage you tonight, keep on. I just want you to keep on going, keep on moving, keep on doing what the Lord wants you to do because, hey, there is glory, there is a reward, there is a day coming when God is going to just answer all of our needs and our prayers and our work down here. We're going to stand before Him one day and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now here's Paul, and Paul's intention is, I'm going to keep moving on. So let's look at him, if you will, and notice as you see this. And, first of all, I want you to understand that Paul gets into, the only way he can do this as it begins, is he gets into a little ship. He travels by a little ship. What I mean, this is a small merchant ship that he gets into. It says in verse 21, and it came to pass that after we were gotten from them, and had launched. That phrase that says that he had launched, that means he left in a little bitty boat, okay? It was a small ship. It was, sometimes you get to reading things and in your Bible and you hear preachers preach and you think, man, they're on the Titanic. I mean, something that's a great, big, huge, seaworthy vessel. There, most of them are not like that. Most of them are just small little ships. And can I tell you, sometimes that's what you got to go in. A lot of folks want it to be big, massive, important, large. I mean, it's got to be, humongous and monumental. Brother, sometimes it's the little ships that get the job done. Listen to how Paul has traveled here. The Bible says he starts out at Miletus, and he goes to a place called Coos. C-O-O-S, and as I said on our map, it just says C-O-S. But it's a place called Coos. It is by ship. He's traveling 50 miles. 50 miles in a little bitty boat. And then that was the first little place that you notice there on the map, if you could see that little purple line. And we saw the route that they was going to. The first little line, 50 miles. And then they stop there in that place called Coos, and they go to a place called Rhodes. And it is 60 miles. Getting that same little ship, and they're following around the coastline, and they go to the next place called Rhodes. Now, Rhodes, you probably, that almost sounds a little bit familiar to some of you when you're thinking about it, because today you've heard probably the term, somebody being called a Rhodes Scholar in a college setting or in an academic setting, a Rhodes Scholar. Rhodes in that day was known for its universities. It was known for its libraries. It was known for all of the little smart people and smart things that went on in the world. That was found at a place called Rhodes. And it was there at Rhodes, there was one of the seven wonders of the old world. It was called the Colossus of Rhodes. There was a big statue that was carved of an image, and it had crumbled by the time that Paul got there. But it was one of the seven wonders of the old world. And Paul is there. But can I tell you, he's not worried about the wonders of the world. He's worried about serving the Lord. So they go by this place, and as he goes on, they go a little bit further. They go to a place called Patara. You'll see that it's mentioned there. It says that finding a ship setting over, the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And at Patara, there was a great place of medicine. It was a place known for doctors and hospitals and medical training and all of that. That's what it was in the ancient day. And Paul has gone there. But can I tell you, he didn't go to the hospitals. He didn't go to the places where the doctors learned. He didn't go to find any particular physician. He just simply went because he wanted to go on the place that God had appointed for him to go to. So what I'm saying is, sometimes you gotta get on the little ships. Sometimes we are the little ships, and sometimes other things may seem important and big around us, but can I tell you, sometimes you just gotta do what God's got for you to do. And just continue to do that. It may seem little. It may seem like it's nothing. It may seem like it's not important to anybody else. But can I tell you, those little ships and those little jobs that they do, hey, God can use them for His honor and for His glory. Then not only do you see a little ship, you'll notice that second of all, you see the large ship. Notice what it says there in verse number 2. And finding a ship sailing over into Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. So here they are in this place called Patara. And they've got to find them another ship that'll take them from Patara to Tyre. Is a 400-mile trip. And they're going to have to get into the open waters of the Mediterranean Sea. And they need something that can carry the load. You know what they need? They need a large ship. And that's where Paul is in this particular place. They get into a large ship and they set forth. They go on this seaworthy journey. And as they're going on their way, look there in verse number 3. It says they'd set forth there from the place called Patara. And they were going to Phoenicia, going to the city called Tyre. And it said, when we had discovered, in verse 3, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her burden. So this was a big cargo ship that was carrying a large load, and it was carrying it from that place called Patara, and it was carrying it over to the port called Tyre. But on that, you'll notice that it says there that Paul is going on this journey, and all of a sudden the ship might say, land ho! What are they looking at? They look off to their left-hand side, and they see the little island that's called Cyprus. I mean, they go past it. He said, look, when we discovered Cyprus. Now, That doesn't mean that Paul and his crew discovered Cyprus like Columbus discovered America. It was already there and everybody already knew. Because, as a matter of fact, Paul and his group in the very beginning, they had gone to Cyprus and they preached to people in Cyprus. And people in Cyprus got saved and churches were started in Cyprus. Matter of fact, you remember that story, Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas, when he was still Saul instead of being called Paul, they went there in the beginning, they went to Cyprus. And if you remember that story, hey, there was folks saved, folks' lives changed, people healed, all kinds of things happened. And could you imagine, here's Paul going back across the ocean, and there on the left, somebody hollers from the ship, there's land, and they look and they say, and Paul said, I know where that is. That's Cyprus. That's a place where I've preached before. That's something that, can I tell you, sometimes, isn't it good that God lets you just kind of look back and have some memories and some thoughts about some places and some things you've done and some places you've been before and some activities that happened in your past. And here he is. He's on the big boat now. He's headed to another big place. But can I tell you, hey, sometimes it's sweet to look back at those little memories that God gives you of some of your work in the time past. And that's what Paul is doing. He's kind of on a little trip of memory here. But I want you to notice, boy, the good thing about this is, look in verse number 3, it says, and they sailed to Syria, into Syria, and they landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And look at verse number 4, it said, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Let me just say this trip, and Paul's moving on, it's going to lead him on to a fellowship. I mean, it's leading him on to a place where he's going to find some fellowship with fellow believers. Boy, I'm glad the little ship can get you there, the big ship can get you there, but can I tell you, I don't think there's any place but like fellowship, amen? I like the big ship, I like the little ship, but I sure do enjoy the fellowship. I'm telling you, we need the fellowship of God's people. We need the place where we can get together. And you know, Paul wasn't impressed by much of anything that he saw along the way. Whether it was in the little ship, the big ship, or whatever it was. Thank God when he got to where he could go somewhere, though, it says in verse number 4, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Now, how in the world did Paul find disciples in that city called Tyre? Now remember, this is north of Israel. It's in the northern stretches, probably what would be more likely to be known as a Gentile area. How in the world did Paul find disciples there? Can I tell you, he's probably the one that drove some of them there. Back in chapter number 9, when we see Paul's conversion, before that in chapter number 8, after Stephen is killed and stoned by the Jews, it says that in chapter number 9, the disciples got all worried and stirred up, and they fled to all of these other areas, and they went out and they carried the Word of God. One of those places was probably this place, Tyre. And because of what Paul had done in his former life, now he was meeting some brethren and some fellow disciples. And this has been years ago now. This has been years since all of these things have happened in Paul's life. It's been several years. But now he's meeting up with some disciples. He's meeting up with some friends. He's about to have fellowship with some that he had formerly wanted to put in prison and put to death. But here he is getting to enjoy a time of fellowship with some of them. The Bible says, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Imagine that. They had an entire week to fellowship with the people of God before Paul had to go on to Jerusalem. And listen, I mean, do you not find that maybe just a little bit odd, a little bit unusual? As I said, here's these people. They're there, and there's a group comes walking through the town. Somebody's coming out, and they say, what are you fellas doing here? We're looking for some folks that are believers in Jesus Christ. And maybe some of them come right up boldly. Maybe some of them come sheepishly. Some of them don't want to be, they don't know what's going on. They might even recognize Paul and say, hey, this is a guy who tried to kill us before. This guy tried to put us in jail before. I don't know if we want to have anything to do with him. But you know what? They found out that he'd been one to the Lord. They found out that his life was changed. They found out that he was a believer like them. And then they got together, and for an entire week, Paul fellowshiped with the believers at Tyre. Had a good time of fellowship, a good time of worship, a good time. Can I tell you, isn't that amazing when you get to see some of them folks? I've heard people, preachers, and just lay members through the years talk about people they used to go to school with, people that they used to, you know, they kind of worried about them. They were kind. I saw a guy here not too long ago, and in the grocery store, I just kind of ran into him accidentally, and I looked at him and said, "Hey, aren't you so and so?" Yeah. And so anyway, we got talking a little bit. Went to high school. He's kind of a rough character in high school, but you know what? Hey, he'd gotten saved. And his life was right with God. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you still preaching?" I said, "Yes, sir. Been same church for 30 years. He said, "Well, praise God." Now, I used to, when we was teenagers, I wouldn't ever hear him say praise God. I'd hear him say something else with God's name, but it wasn't praise God. Amen? But let me just tell you, God can change people. God can change lives. God can make a difference in an old sinner and turn him into a saint. And thank God you can get together with them and you can fellowship. Amen. And that's what's happening here to Paul. Paul is meeting with some people that at one time, as I said, he's ready to put them in jail. Now he's ready to hug their necks, preach to them about Jesus, have a hallelujah time, and go on his way to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? So this whole little trip has led him to a place, first of all, a fellowship. But then I want you to notice, we see that Paul, in this time, as he goes into this place of fellowship, he keeps ministering on. He's moving on, but he keeps ministering on. He continues to do what he's done. What is that? Well, first of all, let's preach. It says, "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, and who said to Paul through the Spirit that we should not go up to Jerusalem." Paul took some time. And I believe what he did with them for 7 days, I don't believe they sat around singing "Old Anxiety." I don't believe they sat around singing, holding hands and sitting around a campfire. I don't believe they done that. I believe Brother Paul preached to them about the things that God had revealed, the things that God had shown. As a matter of fact, they probably tried to get some folks saved. But Paul probably established that church in some of the doctrines and the foundational things that we see him as he writes to the church at Rome, as he writes to the church at Corinth, as he writes to the church at Galatia and Ephesians or Ephesus and Colossae, all those places. Hey, you see, Paul writes those. Here he's sitting down with these folks, and I believe for a solid week they had camp meeting with Preacher Paul. I believe he encouraged them. I believe he blessed them. I believe he did everything that he could to give them something to strengthen and bolster their faith. And here he is. He's there to keep on ministering to them. What does he do? He ministers through the preaching. But I want you to notice this. It says, secondly, that he's ministering. Well, see if I can get back to the right place here. There's the prophecy. They're prophesying about Paul. It says, "In finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days." And these people who are there, these brethren, these disciples, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Does that sound familiar? If you'll think back in chapter number 20, when Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, it says, in verse 22 of chapter 20, Paul says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me." I mean, these guys ain't telling Paul something he ain't heard. Everywhere he goes, somebody says to him, and you're going to see in this next section after this, when he's there at Philip's house and is staying with Philip, there's some guy comes up that's a prophet that comes from another area, comes in, and he tells him the same prophecy. He said, "Paul, if you go, here's what's going to happen to you." And you know what Paul said? Listen to verse 24 in chapter 20. He says this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, ain't nothing stopping me. I mean, they are begging him. They are pleading with him. They're asking him, Paul, look, don't you know what's going to happen if you go to Jerusalem? I mean, it says here that they're doing this. They say to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. They're telling him, they're saying, Paul, here's what the Holy Ghost has told us about your trip to Jerusalem. If you go, you're going to be put in jail. If you go, they're going to bind you. They're going to put chains. They're going to put you in a prison. And Paul probably looks at him and says, okay, what's new? I mean, okay, I got it. It's going to happen. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. And guess what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I've done this before. And listen, he just talks with them. He helps them. And notice what it says. After all this stuff happens, it says, verse number 5, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went on our way. And notice this, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. These folks have walked with Paul, and they've tried to, you know, tell him what's going on. Nothing new to him. He knows what's going on. And the last thing that Paul leaves them with, though, is that he prays for them. Can I tell you one of the most impacting, powerful things you can do for anybody is to pray with them or pray for them. I've prayed with people in hospitals. I've prayed with people in waiting rooms. I've prayed with people at the doctor's office. I've prayed with people at the funeral homes. I've prayed for them on the phone. I've prayed for them in person. I've prayed in cars. I've prayed on the road. And just anywhere you are, you can pray. That's what I'm saying. Doesn't matter where you are. And it says here, these folks are walking with Paul, and they're trying to help him. They're trying to bless him. And they've had a week with the great apostle Paul. They've had a week with him, and now they really don't want to let him go. I want you to notice back in verse number 1, if you will, where it says in chapter 21, verse number 1, it said, and it came to pass after we were gotten from them. You see that where it says, and after we were gotten from them? That word in the Greek literally means to be drawn, to be torn, to be pulled away from somebody. And that's what Paul and the people that were from Ephesus, they had to kind of pull themselves apart to get separated because of the love and the fellowship and the bond that they had with each other. And the same thing is happening here with these people. They follow him. Can you see that? You know, somebody talked about this is, you know, kind of a, they say it's a southern thing. I don't know. You ever told anybody, bye from the south? They say, well, we got to go. Okay, they get up and they go to the door and you follow them outside. You talk on the porch about 10 minutes. Well, we got to be going. They head out to the car. You walk out to the car with them and you talk about another 15 or 20 minutes. Finally, they get in the car and close the door, roll down the window, and you say, well, let me just tell you one more thing. And you sit there and talk about another 5 or 10 minutes. And finally, they pull off out the driveway. Maybe. And as they're going, you're sitting there waving. Amen? Can you imagine that? But that's the way. That's the idea that I get from this. That's what they're doing here. They're seeing Paul. They follow him all the way out until they get to the place where the boat's going to pick them up. And then they're as far as they can. And Paul says, before we go, let's have a word of prayer. Boy, I'm telling you, that's the best thing you can do is pray, whether you're coming or going or whatever you're doing with people. One of the greatest things and the most blessed things you can do is pray with them and pray for them. And you see that Paul continued. That's just part of ministering, folks. That's just part of being in the ministry. Preaching and praying and prophesying. I mean, all these things are involved in the ministry that Paul is involved in. And that all of us should be involved in. Amen? We ought to be listening. Well, let's look at one last thing real quickly, if you will. And let's talk about Paul keeps minding on. Now, here they are. It says they all come out. Now, I want you to notice that, if you will. In verse 5, he says, they all brought us on our way. Isn't that amazing? All of them did. And I believe when Luke writes all, I believe he means all. The whole church come out there and found. Might not have been a big church, but they followed him out there, every one of them. And they said they brought their wives and their children with them. And they all prayed. And they all blessed him. And they all enjoyed. And they all fellowshipped in this thing. So there was some awe to it. But don't you notice here as he goes on. Look what it says in verse number 6. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. So that's as far as Paul's got. We'll, as I say, we'll pick it up here as we go on. But I want you to look at this very last verse and think about this. Now I want you to consider this about Paul. These folks that he's just left have told him, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to put you in jail. If you go there, they're going to have you arrested. If you go. Now the question is this, for me and you, what would we do? If you knew, and Paul said it's everywhere he goes. He said, yeah, I know what you're going to say. They're going to put me in jail. He said, I don't care. None of that stuff moves me. I'm not worried about it. As a matter of fact, you know what Paul said to the church over in the book of Philippians in the last chapter? He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to bow. He said, I can tell you this, that I've found that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Paul said, I'm happy. If the Lord wants me in jail, I'll go to jail. If God wants me free, I'll be free. If he wants me to be out in the cold, I'll be in the cold. If I'm in the hot, I'm in the hot. If I'm in this city or this town, I'll go wherever and do whatever God says do. He said, that's what I intend on doing. So Paul just keeps on minding the Lord. But let me just ask you this. Would you think about this? Would you say that Paul is being stubborn, or is he being spirit-led? Which one? I mean, you know, some folks, like I say, he just told me, he said, I don't care. None of these things move me. And these folks told Paul doesn't even answer them that we see that we haven't. They told him, they said, Paul, if you go, you're going to jail. I'm going anyway. Amen. You know what we call that sometimes? We call that women. Oh, wait a minute. I'm telling you, people, not women. Men can be hard-headed too, can't they? Stubborn. Y'all ever see that? Y'all don't know any stubborn men. But I know a lot of stubborn women. Looking at a few right now. Amen? No, I'm just kidding, really. But you know, we can, all of us, from time to time, can be stubborn in what we're going to do. And you think, is Paul being just stubborn? And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what, you know, what all y'all say, and I don't care what's going to happen. Or is he being led by the Spirit of God? I mean, realize this, first of all, when he keeps on minding, you realize there are some dangers. There are some dangers. There's dangers in these things that he's about to do. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I ain't lined up to go to jail. Amen? I don't want to go. I'm not intending on going. And, you know, it may come to a day when they outlaw preaching and getting together in churches and all that. And we may have to go to jail. But I'm not looking forward to it. Right? And I don't think any of y'all in here, anybody wanting to go tonight? We can probably arrange it. But, you know, we better not try that, right? But, I mean, here he is. And there's some dangers in that. Well, what do you mean, danger? Well, you ain't been to jail lately, have you? Can I tell you one of the scariest things there is? I went at one time, Brother Marty Frisky was one of our missionaries here at the church, and he worked down at the Walker County Jail. And I went down there with him a few times, and we talked about drug addiction and all that kind of stuff, and he wanted me to go along with him. So I was there with him a few times. One of the strangest sounds, Brother Sprayberry can probably tell you the same thing, when they close them doors and you hear them lock. And old Brother Frisky looked at me and he said, you're in now and you can't get out. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't get out of that door unless that guard opens it up and lets us out. You can't get, I don't care if you want to scream, yell, push, pull, or whatever, you ain't getting out. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of scary. And you can hear those things, boom, 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 all down through there when they'll yell out, you know, block so-and-so or sell such-and-such. And then those doors close. Buddy, it's closed. And it's kind of a scary thing to think about it, because there's no freedom beyond that, right? I mean, there's some danger, and there was some danger there. Paul, you're going to jail. You're going to stand before Caesar. You're going to be tried. And if you're convicted, it could mean your life. There's some dangers in this thing, okay? It's a dangerous place for Paul to be. I mean, but what does he do? He's got determination. As I said, he looks there in that chapter 20 where we read, and he said, none of these things move me. Nothing. He said, I'm not worried about it. Look in chapter number 21. Look down at verse number 13. Paul, after they'd told him, if you go, you're going to jail. You're going to be in trouble. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He is a determined man. Oh, that God would put that kind of determination in every one of our hearts to work and labor and do what we can for God, just like it. I'm talking about somebody that's determined. Paul said, now look, y'all are breaking my heart. You're telling me some things. And it, you know, I understand the feelings, and I understand what you're saying. But I want you to know something. I'm ready to give it my all for Jesus. Amen. And then notice this last of all, if you will. Is he being disobedient, or is he getting his direction from God? And let me ask you this question. Are we being disobedient sometimes, or are we getting our direction from God? And you know what? Sometimes it really doesn't matter what everybody else thinks that you ought to do and how you ought to do it. You need to get your direction from God. You need to get your, you know, there's people will tell you and say, well, you know, you ought not take this job. You ought to take that one. It makes more money. It'll make you a bigger fortune. It'll make you a bigger, well-known individual, or this or that or the other. Do you know what you need to do? You need to find out what God wants in your life. You need to find His direction. You need to find out where God wants you to go to school. You need to find out where God wants you to live. You need to find out where God wants you to work. You need to find out who God wants you to marry. I mean, there's a lot of things in your life that you'll come to the crossroad of a decision. And you know what? You need to find the will of God. You need to find out what the Lord wants, not just what we want sometimes. And so that's why I ask that question. Is it disobedience, or is it getting the direction of God? And Paul told him, he said, look, it just doesn't matter. I mean, He was there with these different folks, and every time he went to somebody, they told him, they said, you're going to Jerusalem, you're going to have trouble. There's dangers there, there's problems, there's issues. Something's going to happen. But Paul said, let me just tell you, I've determined that I'm not going to do anything or know anything about it. He said it, you know, this way. He said in the book of Timothy, he said, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep those things which I have given unto him against that day. In other words, I can't lose if I follow God. If I do what he says do, go where he says go, and work where he says work, then I'm right where I need to be. Amen? I mean, there's people tried to talk their kids out of being missionaries. You can't go over there to that foreign country. Well, they'll kill you. But God's saying, go. I'll take care of you. Amen? There's folks that are, you know, answering the call to preach, and their wife or their family or somebody trying to discourage them. But you know what? God said, you go ahead. I'll take care of you. I mean, there are things like that in life that we just need to make sure we've got the direction of God. Sure, there's dangers, but can I tell you, it's kind of like Paul is saying this. When God gets through with me, he'll be through. But until God gets through with me, nobody can touch me. Isn't that amazing? When God's got you where he wants you and he's using you like he wants to use you, there's nothing that anybody can do. There are some folks today, and I guess, you know, you look at it, and rightfully so, they're worried about the situation in Israel. But can I tell you, I look at it the same way I'm looking at this. God's got those people, and Brother Sprayberry said in a few minutes, they're still his people. And he's going to take care, and it doesn't, you say, but look who all them countries, and they've got bombs, and they got soldiers, and they got, I don't care what they got. Israel's got God on their side. And Paul said this, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Can I tell you, that's where God wants me and you tonight. Oh yeah, certainly there's dangers on the way. But as I said, you and I have just got to have the determination, the mindset, and the realization, let's just follow him. And when you do, amen, he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Brother Ronnie, come on if you would. And let's sing a verse of a song tonight. If you need to come pray about some things or talk to the Lord about some stuff, well, might be a good time for you to do that. But I'm here to tell you, if God's for you, God's on your side, God's